the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely, thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salam. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for this episode, we have an interesting topic. We're going to speak about bringing up daughter in a Muslim family.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Thursday, is the 5th of Zilqa'da, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Khordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of chapter An-Nahl, verses 58 and 59.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم.
And when one of them is informed of the birth of a female, his face becomes dark and he suppresses grief.
يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به أيمسكه على هون أم يدسه في التراب ألا ساء ما يحكمون.
He hides himself from the people because of the ill of which he has been informed. Should he keep it in humiliation or bury it in the ground? Unquestionably, evil is what they decide.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse refers to the hideous evil habit of the parents for sake of complementing the discussion. It implies that when one of them is informed of good tidings of having been provided a daughter by Allah, he will be so infuriated with anger that his face changes altogether and becomes blackened while being full of wrath. It is true that the birth of a child is considered as a good tiding, but superstitions regard such good tidings as disgrace and humiliation.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. Guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
So let's speak about the blessing of having the daughter. Allah Almighty says what means to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He creates what He wills. He gives to whom He wills female children, and He gives to whom He wills males. Or He makes them both males and females, and He renders whom He wills barren. Indeed, He is knowing and competent. The Holy Quran, chapter 49, verse 50. We notice in the verse that the mention of daughters preceded that of the sons. And the scholars commented on this, saying this is to hearten daughters and encourage kindness towards them, because many fathers at that time felt burdened by receiving a daughter. The common practice of the people during the pre-Islamic era was to hate receiving daughters to the extent that they would bury them alive. Therefore, it is as if Allah is saying to people, this inferior child in your estimation takes precedence in my scale. Also mentions daughters first to indicate their weakness and that they are therefore more deserving of care and attention.
بسم Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his beautiful progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the Islamic perspective in upbringing the girls and our daughters. Today, educational aspects have become more difficult with the advancement of technology and the use of online tools. We cannot deprive our child of this space, even at the age of 7 and in the first grade of primary school. But based on the Islamic education of our girls, we should teach her that like movies are created by the directors, mind and special effects, everything she sees on social networks cannot be lifestyle or a personal character. We should simply teach her that like movies that are created by the director's mind and special effects, so everything she sees on social networks cannot be a lifestyle, let's say a desired lifestyle, or that is really a personal, let's say, point of view of a person. That would be a personal point of view of someone. The next step that I want to present here is the teaching of individual difference. It is possible that our daughters witness and watch some differences from other girls. In some ways, let's say in the face of some of her friends, there are some differences to her, and in the end, this keeps her busy. According to the structure and instructions of Islamic education of girls, individual differences can be a good sign. Can be signs of the oneness of God. So we can, through the differences, we can teach her about the oneness of God, that God has arranged all human beings together like pieces of a puzzle. Each of them is distinguished depending on a series of individual characteristics that can be seen in the face, morals, body and behavior.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Teach your daughter, your family and home should always come first, honey. The feminist movement and the fight for equality between men and women has stripped the woman of today of her most important treasure, the desire for being a homemaker. This is not to say that a woman should not have a career or endeavor to be more than a homemaker. We have several examples amongst Muslim women, particularly that of Lady Khadija, peace be upon her, who was one of the most successful businesswomen of her time and one of the most successful women in the akhirah, the hereafter. However, teach your daughters to not fall in the trap of considering homemaking as something that is beneath them, the work of women with no ambition, or something that needs to be shared between husband and wife. We are told by the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, that his daughter Fatima will be the leader of the women of Jannah. And if you look at her life, you will find that she has spent her time as a devoted slave of Allah and a homemaker, who worked tirelessly for her home and her family. The Prophet said, if a woman prays her 5 daily prayers, fasts during the month of Ramadan, guards her chastity, and obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter paradise by whichever of gates of paradise you wish. This is today's special and raising a daughter. Even though having a son and a daughter is different, as people tend to prefer a boy rather than a girl, parents must not treat it differently. Whoever loves their daughters and sons equally will be admitted to paradise. It is said whoever had a female who has not insulted by him and had not preferred his male children to her, Allah admits him to paradise. If someone raised his daughter well until she got married, Allah makes Jannah a compulsory for him. The obligation of a parent will end once the daughter got married.
Let's see, what does the religion of Islam say about daughters? What does the religion of Islam, how does the religion of Islam portray sisters and daughters and women, and generally speaking, in the Quran and in the Hadith? Because even now, you find there are some cultures that are against women. You find some cultures that are misogynistic, that have this negative perspective of daughters. If they have a daughter, they're going to treat their daughter differently from their son. And this is a reality that goes on even until today. Or you find that in some cultures, the men, they inherit, the sisters don't inherit. This is happening right now in some countries. They pass on a house or a belonging, a farm, only to the men in the family, afraid it's going to go towards someone else. And this is something that is haram. This is something that is against Islam. This is something that is against what the message of Rasulullah came with. When we look at the Quran, we see that women and daughters and wives are discussed. Some people have the idea that it was only the prophets who were the men that are mentioned in the Quran, and they're the ones who are the men of God and the ones who brought the religion and everything. No. One example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is Hawa, Eve. Today in the Christian, in the Bible, it says, and even in some, this has made its way in some of the Muslim books, not the Shia books, that the Eve was created from what was remaining from Adam, the soil that was remaining from Adam. Then Allah saw that there was some extra, so yalla, let's go, let's make Eve now. Let's make Hawa. When this is not right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Eve together. Or there's a mindset that it was Eve that made Adam eat from the tree. No, they both ate from the tree. It wasn't one to be blamed over the other.
So, inshallah, we continue on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? Told me there is nothing, who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer, I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
everyone, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him. The worst earner of livelihood is that who deprives others of improving their livelihoods through his earnings. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reason for man's creation and the purpose of man's creation. You know, this is a very important topic, and it's been alluded to in certain places in the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran, we read the following in one verse. God says, I did not create the jinn and the humans except that they may worship me. Which indicates the fact that ibadat, or worship of God, is the purpose for the creation of the human beings and the jinn. In another verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following. Had your Lord wished, He would have made mankind one community, but they continue to differ, except those on whom your Lord has mercy. And that is why He has created them. Which indicates the fact that the allocation of mercy to the believers is the reason for their creation. It's the ultimate reason. And in the intermediate purpose and reason and purpose and goal of man's creation is that they worship him. Through that worship, they will achieve that mercy. In this connection, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says the following: O people exalted, O people, Allah exalted be His remembrance, has only created people so that they might know Him, might recognize Him and know Him. And when they know Him, they worship Him. This is a beautiful hadith in the sense that the Imam mentions, these purposes, the purposes for the reason and the reasons for the creation of man. Each of these is a preliminary for the next one. You know, there's a sequence to them. God created human beings so that they could know Him. Why does He want them to know Him? So that they could worship Him. Then the Imam says, and when they worship Him, they become needless of worshiping others by His worship. When they finally worship God, they don't need anything else. They don't need to worship, and they don't need to be obedient to anybody else besides Him. A man then asked Imam Hussein alayhi salam, O son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, may my parents be your ransom. What is meant by knowing Allah? The first purpose that the Imam mentioned. What do we mean when we say that our purpose is to know God? He replied, it is that the people of each era must know their Imam, to whom obedience is mandatory. This kind of alludes to the fact that the recognition of the Imam of the time is a part and is a corollary of the knowledge of God, right? It stems from it, it emanates from it, it's a concomitant of it, right? I mean, when we know that, you know, God exists and that He's a perfect being and, you know, He's a kind being, He created us to guide us to the right path, and we cannot do this on our own, it's necessary for Him to send guides, then we will realize that it's necessary for God to send somebody who can guide us and can lead us to the straight path, you know. And that in our time, after the demise of the Holy Prophet, is manifested in the form of the 12 A'imma alayhi salam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reason for man's creation in the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions in Practical Tajweed Rules held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So I really, really welcome you all. And also our brothers here, Brother Ali Nasir and Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah and Fawad Haider. Inshallah, today, Ayah 120 of Surah Ali Imran on page 65 will be our main topic. So without wasting the time, let's first everybody listen to the recitation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In
تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها وإن تصبروا وتتقوا لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا إن الله بما يعملون محيط.
That was a nice recitation, but don't worry, okay? Inshallah, if you'd love to recite that way, stay with us, brothers and sisters, till the end of this session. We'll have an explanation first, tajweed rules second, and third, we'll practice the recitation with tajweed rules. Inshallah, we'll have the result maybe this way, right? Well, we hope, yeah. So, Allah Almighty in Ayah 120 of Surah Ali Imran, the family of Prophet Imran, and on page 65 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها وإن تصبروا وتتقوا لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا إن الله بما يعملون محيط. So Allah Almighty says, إن تمسسكم حسنة, if some good things, okay, good thing should befall you, if something good happens to you, okay, easily, if something happens to you, something good happens to you, it upsets them. Who? The kuffar. Those people that you think they really are friends of you, but they are not, right? If something good happens to you, it upsets them. وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ, but if some ill or something bad happens to you, they rejoice at it. يَفْرَحُ بِهَا, they will enjoy it. Wow, that's what I wanted. Okay? And if something good happens to you, oh God, why? They become sad. Is a friend like this?
No.
No? A friend is not this way. A friend in need is a friend indeed. A real friend is the one who becomes sad in our sadness. Who grieves, okay, for our sadness. And who becomes happy with our happiness. But this kind of people, the kuffar, okay, they are not like this. If you have like relationships, yeah, he's your neighbor, it's okay. Do not harm them, okay? Respect them as human beings, okay? But do not have close relationships with them. Do not reveal your secrets with them. Sometimes we want to make friends, okay, with them just to guide them. But remember that if you are not capable enough of guiding, okay, if you yourself are not guided, if you don't have enough knowledge, okay, about your religion, okay, God forbid you will be misled. They will misguide, they will guide you to their religion. So remember, even if you have this intention to guide them, first yourself should know much about your religion, okay? Enough, you should have enough knowledge about your religion, not to, God forbid, to fall in trouble, okay? If they asked any questions from you, you should be able to answer them. If you are not, you will fall in doubt, and if you don't go for the answers to your questions, you will like start disbelieving to your religion. So, Allah Almighty says, وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَحُوا بِهَا, but if something bad happens to you, they rejoice at it, they will enjoy it. Wow, that's what I wanted to happen to him. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, oh people, oh mu'min, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, and yet, if you are patient, وَتَتَّقُوا, and God-wary, okay, if you apply taqwa and if you are patient about what they try to do to harm you, okay, if you are patient at these things, what happens? لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا. If you are a believer, believe that whatever Allah Almighty says is right. لا يضركم شيئا. They will not harm you anything. Yeah, this kind of harms, okay, that daily you see, okay, one Muslim is killed there, got martyred. This kind of things happen, okay, but at all, okay, generally, they cannot harm you. You are stronger than them. All Muslims, you are stronger than them. Alright? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Their plot, their guile, will not harm you in any way. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. Indeed, Allah, comprehends Allah has knowledge over what they do. Alright? That's Allah has knowledge. Allah knows what they want to do. And Allah knows what is the outcome of their deeds, okay? Their actions, their plans. And Allah is telling us, informing us of their plots, informing us of their attributes, their feelings about us. So, that's it, guys. Be careful, inshallah. May Allah protect us from all their plots, inshallah, and help us stay strong against them, inshallah, and defend the Islamic teachings.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Okay, ready to go to the Tajweed rules?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's all from us, okay, in explanation. But that was a short one. Remember, you have to refer to the Tafsir books. In this ayah, the first important point that we should mention is let's generally talk about the rules of Tanween and Nun Sakin. There are how many rules for Tanween and Nun Sakin?
Four
rules. So, we have four people here. So, each of you will say one of them. Hussein?
First rule is Idgham.
Idgham. Ali Nasir?
We have Idhar.
Idhar. Fawad?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. And Hassan?
Hussein.
Iqlab. Good job. So, Idgham means Hassan? Hussein?
To merge.
Merging sound. Idhar?
Idhar means to not change anything.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly read the, pronounce.
Good. Ikhfa means?
To hide the sound of the tanween or noon, depending on the next letter.
Good job. Nice explanation. And Hassan, iqlab means?
Changing.
Yeah, iqlab means changing. Changing of the sound of tanween or noon sakin into meme, hidden meme sound. In case you have a ba after the tanween or nun sakin. So it depends. These different rules depend on what? On the letter that comes right after the tanween or nun sakin. So, if one of these letters, yar malun, ya ra mim lam waw nun, comes after the tanween or nun sakin, the rule idgham is applied as Hussein said. We merge the sound, we join them. If the throat letters, hamza, ha, ha, kha, Ayn, Ghayn, one of these six letters come right after the Tanween or Nun Sakin, the rule Idhar is applied as Ali Nasir said. And if the letter Ba comes right after the Tanween or Nun Sakin, the rule Iqlab is applied as Hassan said. And the rest of the letters, a lot, many more letters are there, like 13 letters are there, 15 letters are there. But if they come after the Tanween or Nun Sakin, the rule, what rule is applied?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa, as Fawad explained it. MashaAllah to Fawad, to Ali Nasir, to Hassan, to Hussein. Alright, now, in tamsaskum, in nun sakin, ta, rest of the letters. Yes? The rule?
Ikhfa.
In tamsaskum. Easy, hide the sound. Hasanatun, tanween plus ta, ta, rest of the letters. Hasanatun, what rule? Ikhfa. Fawad's rule, ikhfa.
Yes.
Hasanatun, tasu'hum. وَإِنْ again, Fawad. Oh, Fawad, what are you doing? All the rules are for you. وَإِنْ تُصِبْكُمْ. Okay. If ba, qaf, ta. Ah, good job. Five letters are there that if you see they appear, if they appear sakin, you have to apply the rule qalqala. Which means, yes, which means you pronounce them with an echoing sound. تُصِبْ, تُصِبْكُمْ, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal. وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ تَنْوِين plus ya. Ya matches the letters of
يَرْمَلُونَ.
يَرْمَلُونَ. As Hussein said. Hussein, what rule is applied?
إِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام. وَإِي sorry. سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَحُوا بِهَا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا again, إِدْغَام, إِخْفَى وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. شيئاً, but if you stop here, تنوين فتحة changes to ألف مد شيئاً. قيلة tells you it's better to stop here, but you can continue. إن الله نون مشدد نيزل صان. إن الله بما يعملون محيط. When you stop here, the تنوين on طا changes to سكون, and you must apply the rule قلقلا. Pronounce it with an echoing sound. So that's all for tajweed rules in this ayah. Now, what we promised earlier in the beginning of the session, we'll practice the recitation. Okay, Ali Nasir?
Ready? Yes. Yeah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إن تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها
إن تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها
وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا
وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا
إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ
إن الله بما يعملون محيط
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. That's it from us for today, brothers and sisters. If you want to learn Tajweed rules, recite the Quran with Tajweed rules beautifully and correctly, join us every day on IRB English Radio this time. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. This is IRIB English Radio. And once more, I, Asma, has the honor to be your host for today's episode. And here with me, I have two very dear guests. Sister Shameli and Sister Misbah, welcome to the studio and assalamu alaikum. Thank you both. Well, as the ritual of this program goes, at the very beginning, I would like you to introduce yourself very briefly.
I was raised in Canada.
Yeah.
And when I came back to Iran, I did my PhD in Islamic studies. in the seminary that is for women in Jamaat al-Zahra, and then I did another PhD for women's studies in one of the universities in Qom.
Yeah, that's great. And you, Sister Misbah?
Yes, I'm Mariam, an Iranian housewife who has a bachelor in plant biology, and my master is in medical toxicology. I'm a mother of 11-year-old son, and I've been living in Qom for around 5 years.
Yeah, that's very great. So it's a pleasure to know you, sister. Yes, welcome to the studio. And in today's Back to Reality, we're going to talk about something which has been so viral nowadays. Well, as we all know that we're living in an age of wonders. Too many wonders happen into our lives as we're getting closer to technology and it becomes a part of our life. Now, the story of ChatGPT and the whole story of AI, that is the artificial intelligence, is getting so hot that everyone is talking about, and it is something that has become the matter of all the discussions. So what do you think are the pros and cons for a ChatGPT? What is it?
I think it's better to first describe the artificial intelligence, AI, in general. Since my husband is a programmer, and I have listened from him a lot about AI, I can describe it as a method for teaching software how to predict future events and estimate quantities. This is done through methods that correlate the data, including a data bank. To bring an example, which is close to my field experience, we can imagine a virtual physician which has learned from data related to the medicine given to patients with various ages, genders, and symptoms, and the effect the drug has caused to them. Before introduction of ChatGPT, this AI-based tool can only be used for scientific purposes. ChatGPT has provided a chat-based method for receiving the questions and providing the answer not only for scientific, but also for everyday subjects.
Yeah, so from what you say, I would just put it in a much simpler way. And I would say that in ChatGPT and AI in general, we're going to experience, as you just said, a virtual situation in which we're going to get the answer for all of our questions. So if you're a student of university, if you want to write a thesis, that would be a help for you, a supporter. I guess you would never even need a professor to be in your back and help you with the subject. So for anything, you want to learn languages, you want to cook, you want to do everything, every single thing that comes to your mind, you can ask the help of ChatGPT.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
What do you think are the pros and cons for a ChatGPT? I have searched about translation because I wanted to check my translations and the translations that comes out of that. Well, I would say that it's not...
Yeah, what do you mean? Like you put a text in it to translate it for you? From which language to which language?
English to Persian.
Okay, and how was the result?
It was good. I would give it out of 20, I would give it a 12.
Mm-hmm. Have you used Google Translate?
No. That's somehow similar to each other.
Did you try asking like some other questions to ChatGPT?
Yes, if you ask philosophical questions.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was the question?
What's life? And then you would get too many questions, too many answers and elaborations and that.
Did you like the answers?
It's fun.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
So like, did you get any information from that?
Oh, well, it's just fun. Yes, so as I just told you, it's a fun experience. So now, tell me your ideas about it.
Well, I have used ChatGPT for a lot of things. I did try to use it to see if I can write an article with it or mm-hmm. how it would guide me if I want to write a thesis with it. It doesn't really work like that. That yeah. you would really not need to have any professor backing you up. You definitely do need to have a professor because at this stage, ChatGPT is not so, it's like, it's being tested.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a trial period.
It's the first stage. I guess it's the tutorial. But when it gets more experienced, I guess that's going to be hilarious.
It would be shocking. And it would be really, really sad because even right now I heard from one of my colleagues that, voiceovers in a company in the U.S.,
yeah.
they had hired like a couple of people. And after the ChatGPT, they laid them off. And just the ChatGPT was doing all the voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the case that you're losing, a lot of people will be losing their jobs.
Yes.
That's a very sad situation because this is very frightening. And people, it's like a threat to people's occupations, like programmers, artists, so many different professions will be out of their jobs if this ChatGPT goes on. And I heard that someone, a very renowned figure, was suing ChatGPT because of this threat that it was like causing to the entire world. The human resources.
I guess it depends on how you look at it. And let's go for a short break and then we'll talk more about it. Yes, this is still Back to Reality, and we're talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and the pros and cons that are related to it. So, Sister Misbah, what more of things you can say about it? Do you think there will be... Now, Sister Shamali told us that it's going to be frightening, and I guess she stands with those people who say... who has got this negative stand toward AI and ChatGPT. What about you? Do you support that or no? You think
yes,
it's just...
Yes, I support her and I agree with her. I think that losing jobs is very important thing that will happen by this. And I want to explain something more about the experience and the example that I was telling. That learning from these data, ChatGPT is able to hear from the patient his information and diagnosing the diseases and prescribe the best drugs to heal him. So, considering this example, we can imagine that AI doctors can come to your service by just few clicks.
Do you agree really with that?
Yes, but... I will say that the problems that will happen by this technology are so many, and I want to tell and continue. It seems that no requirement to medical colleagues, professions, laboratories. It seems to be like this, but according to this example, ChatGPT is able to replace human physicians, leading them to lose their jobs. But also reduces the cost of medical services for the society.
But why would you be, concerned about the cost of medical services? But like every government does have a budget, and this will have to be spent on the drugs and on the medicine. And humans are not just like robots to be operated by machines and robots.
Yes,
they need like feelings and they need emotions. Like part of the reason you go to see a doctor is because you need the attention. Sometimes when you do refer to a doctor, like besides from having a cancer or something like that, it's just to get the attention that someone really looks at you, pays attention to you. So I think like if we want to look at ChatGPT doctors like robots being like physicians, it's not
yes,
just
I
the same.
I agree with you, and I want to say that the advantages of ChatGPT are these, and I exactly want to say that disadvantage is the emotional problems that the patients cannot give whatever they want and they need. They have to have a relationship with their physicians. This is very important. The most part of diagnosis and cure, being cured by the physician. It's so important. I meant that the societies may or agree with this technology because they can list their budgets and use them in whatever purposes they want.
Even the society wouldn't agree with ChatGPT. Maybe some employers would agree at the
governments, maybe.
No, not even the government. Because, like, what are you going to do with the people? Because, you know, let's say that most of the jobs will be replaced by ChatGPT. So what are these people are going to do?
Yes, unfortunately, actually.
They're going to stay home,
but they can.
They're going to get depressed, and the government will have to spend, like, very large amount of their budget. Like, you're going to have high rates of suicide, depression,
but
anxiety.
Still, I guess, we have a long way ahead of us to get into that position where there is no need for human beings.
It's a very short way. I see it happening even today.
But this is the means of technology. Every technology that comes to any societies, at first they maybe have many problems, but little by little they can find their own places and people understand how can they replace their abilities in others.
What do you think?
Yes, I think that it may be very useful.
Have you thought about it?
Yes.
That, like, this chat, because last night, I was just thinking about it, like, okay, let's say, I was imagining a situation in society, a country, where, like, a world where ChatGPT was ruling over it. Then I was like, so, because, like, all the other technologies, like, they can be replaced by something else, but this is actually replacing you, your thoughts, your abilities. Even labor work is being replaced by ChatGPT. I was watching a documentary yesterday where everything in a hospital was operated by robots.
It's somehow exaggerated nowadays, but
it was reality. It was in Norway. I think it was the country that, like, when the nurses went to a booth, like, first thing in the morning when they entered the hospital, they wanted to get the uniform. They got it through a booth, like through a machine-operated technology. They got their uniforms. Then they checked in. They wanted to, like, give the samples to the laboratory. Everything was operated through machines.
Yes.
And I was like, so, like, where do the people go?
Think about less mistakes and many times that a person has to enjoy himself if the governments can pay much more budget to them to do whatever they want. The important thing that something happened, the routine jobs of the society would happen. And by this, people have more time to do more important things.
Like what? What are the more important things?
Thinking.
Thinking.
Yes, thinking.
Yes. ChatGPT will think for you. ChatGPT will think for you.
No, spending time with the family.
Yes, many. Imagine a
writer. What kind of family? The family that is depressed? The family that doesn't have any?
I don't need a job. I'm not depressed because I am my housewife.
You have a lot of things to take care of at home.
Yes,
you wash the dishes, you clean the house, you take care of
having a job because I want to earn
money. You are being
money.
Provided for. Your husband provides for you.
Okay, the society may provide money for people and people can join themselves doing more important things.
ChatGPT will do the more important things for you.
I don't really like to interrupt both of you because the discussion is getting somewhere really nice, but that's the story with all the things that are related to technology and modernism. Well, I think they have both advantages and disadvantages, and it depends on the way you look at them, on the way you use them, on the way we're going to learn how to deal with them. And yeah, that's it. That was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah.